Thank you, Juanita. Hey, it is good to be back. And I think all of us, the five of us that went to Mexico, spent a week there, and we had just a fantastic time. We so appreciate your prayers. And I personally was just surrounded by some all-stars as we ministered down there. So it was myself, it was Marilyn, who is my new hero. She just was wonderful. And we had Juanita, who just read scripture. We had Pastor Felipe, we had Sandy Parrott with us. We had a wonderful time. We really did. Got a lot of work done. And what was really neat was we inspired them to get a lot of work done. There was just a lot of projects that, and for a lot of reasons, the church, we hadn't been down there for 5.5 years. They've gone through some major crises. I mean, just crisis of security. I mean, Monterey had really become like the wild, wild west, and really bad situation. There was a lot of disheartening things that have been going on, and one of the leaders just told me two nights ago, the last night we were there, and she, with tears in her eyes, just said, "You don't know what your visit has meant to us." You know, it's just, and she just said, "You guys inspire us. You bring us strength." And you know, as a missionary with a lot of experience, you know, what you look for too is not that we would go and do a bunch of work for them, but that really we could go down and encourage them and inspire them to work with us. And they came out, and so many of their own church members came out. Of the physical work we did, a lot of painting, I think their church members did about 80% of it. And they really worked hard. They put together a great team. And then a lot of the person-to-person ministry was just precious. I mean, it was wonderful. Very successful trip. Again, thank you for your prayers. I mean, we were safe the whole time. In fact, I asked last night at the airport, I said, "Did anybody ever feel in danger?" And no, didn't even feel like we were in danger. We definitely had our bodyguard, an angelic guard over us. Nobody even got sick. None of the Montezuma's revenge, nothing. So I tell you, it was just darn near a perfect trip. Thank you again for your prayers. It was wonderful. We're going to try and put together, even maybe for next week, a little slide presentation with some pictures to show you, but just wanted to make a few comments today. But it is good to be back. Very good to be back, and especially with my family and the church family. So, I agree with you, Juanita. Psalm 150 really gives you a picture of just this celebration in worship. And this sermon series that I've started, and I started a couple weeks back before I left for Mexico, is on psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, coming right out of both a text in Ephesians and a text in Colossians. Paul repeats himself there too, where he just says that we are to speak to one another too. It's not just that we're supposed to worship like this with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but even in our day-to-day language, as we talk with one another too, minister to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so, you know, I would say first and foremost, we need to memorize hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, contemporary worship songs, you know, as we memorize it, and not just memorize, but meditate on them. You know, what does that song say? What does it mean? I mean, how is it speaking to me? And so as you memorize, as you start to, you know, be able to just ponder and meditate on it, all of a sudden you'll find opportunities, and somebody's talking to you, maybe they're telling you about a really tough time they're going through, and boom, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit will just, you know, out from your lips comes these words from a psalm, or words from a hymn, words from some worship song, and they are power-packed. They just bless, because Scripture, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Scripture blesses, because it is the Word of God. And the Spirit uses the Word of God to just penetrate into the heart, even get down into the very soul of the person. But all of a sudden, when you know, so many times these hymns, these psalms, these worship songs, they say it in such a beautiful, I mean, gorgeous, poetic way that the impact is even more powerful. Hymns and worship songs, they have this, I said it 2 weeks ago, this stickiness to them. It just sticks more in the brain. And so as it sticks more, it has an opportunity to just be more absorbed into the heart. You know, when I go and visit oftentimes somebody in the hospital, or especially some of the older members in the nursing home, or somebody who's a shut-in, I don't bring my Bible with me. I usually bring my hymnal. Because the hymns, I can all of a sudden pull out a hymn, and especially if I bring my hymnal, I can ask maybe what one of their favorite hymns is. And as I just sing that hymn to them, all of a sudden, I can just see sometimes in their eyes, just they're connecting with the Spirit. And I could preach a 45-minute message to that person, and it wouldn't have the same impact as when I sing that hymn to them. Because so many times, there are memories, too, especially for an older member of the church, maybe even a Christian, especially somebody who's been a Christian for decades. Those hymns that they have sung over and over, and maybe that hymn was sung at the funeral of a parent or the funeral of a child, or, you know, and it all of a sudden just goes so deep and ministers, and it's wonderful. And Felipe and I had an opportunity then on Friday night, our last night there in Mexico. Pastor Flores' husband literally is on his deathbed. He is not doing well. He's not that old. I think, you know, maybe early 70s, but has had a series of mini strokes. And he's lost all mobility. He's just basically bedridden. And Pastor Flores told us that more often than not, I mean, he doesn't even know what's going on. And, you know, he'll be calling out for his brother, his twin brother that's been dead, she said, for, I don't know, what'd she say, Felipe? I want to say 40, 50 years or something like that. And, but when we showed up, I mean, as God would have it, he had a moment of clarity. And so she said, hey, you know, Juan, here's Pastor Felipe. Do you remember him? Absolutely. And he was able to verbalize and saludarle. He was able to greet Pastor Felipe, and then, you know, I was able to speak to him a little bit, and then all of a sudden, and we prayed for him, and all of a sudden he started to go a little out of it again, and I suggested, hey, let's sing How Great Thou Art, and again, I preached on that 2 weeks ago. It has to be one of my all-time favorite hymns, and I had memorized it in Spanish too, again, because it ministers so powerfully. And as we sang How Great Thou Art, when we got to the chorus, all of a sudden, I mean, and his eyes were closed, and you could just see this him ministering to him. And all of a sudden, when we got to the chorus, he was singing along with us and just connecting so powerfully with the Spirit. It's a wonderful way to minister to people. And so I encourage you, you know, and even if you're not a singer, you know, I mean, to memorize the words and to meditate on them and then to use them in a way to minister to others, it can be very powerful. So, you know, as we're going along, and I haven't even selected all the hymns and the worship songs I'm going to be preaching on in this series. I don't know if this is going to go for 6 weeks or 12 weeks. I don't know. Basically, any one of the songs that I pick, it's got to pass the WEEP test. The W-E-E-P, the weep test. And basically, it's got to be one that it just causes me to weep in worship. I mean, it's just so powerful. And this modern hymn that I'm going to be preaching on today, In Christ Alone, is one of those that just literally, as I sing this, I cannot help but just, I get so choked up. The words are so powerful, the theology behind it. It is just thick. It's rich. It's so powerful. It literally could be like a creed. A creed is, you know, this statement of, I believe, you know, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and it continues. This is what I believe. And the words of this hymn are so powerful. So we printed it in your bulletin. I didn't have time being away to be able to, you know, give you all of the textual support and all the background behind these words. But in my sermon, I'll try and see if I can give some of that. But it starts out with this wonderful, I call it almost a creedal statement. In Christ alone, my hope is found. That one statement is so powerful because you are just stating, you know, in Christ alone, I have no other hope. I mean, no other hope outside of that that I will stand on, that I will plant my life on. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. I mean, as you memorize this, take the time to meditate on this. So as you're just singing this, what does that mean? He is my light. What does that mean? You know, I do not walk in darkness. Christ is my, I can walk securely. I'm sure-footed. I don't get tripped up. Christ is my light. He is my strength. I certainly don't trust in my physical strength. Christ is my strength. And when my physical strength gives out and I connect with Christ, I'm just infused with strength. He strengthens me, and he is my song. He is my inspiration. He is the joy in my heart that just bursts forth in song. Christ is my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm, makes you think of Jesus' parable about the person, do you build your house on rock or do you build your house on sand? He says, hey, those who listen to my words and follow up and live out my words, it's like the person who builds their house on stone. But the one who disregards my words, just brushes them off, that's the person who is building their house on sand. And when the storm comes, not if, when the drought comes, when the fierceness of the storm comes, I look around and, oh, I know so many of us are going through storms. When those storms come, we plant our lives, our very lives, our hearts, everything on that solid ground, and we will stand after everything. We will not be knocked down. We will stand. What heights of love, what depths of peace. Now, you don't even know love, except that you know Christ's love. You don't even know the half of it, the heights of his love, the depths of his peace, that peace that just goes beyond understanding, that guards the heart and mind in Christ Jesus, that it's a mystery. You can't even explain it. Why in the midst of tremendous crisis, when fears are stilled, and you think of the apostles in the boat and they're freaking out. I mean, these are seasoned fishermen. They know how to steer a boat and how to navigate a boat. No, this storm was freaking them out. They were fearing for their very lives. And here's Jesus asleep in the boat. And Jesus, wake up. Don't you even care that we're about to drown here? Peace. Be still. Also in the storm. Absolutely stops. The apostles are in awe. Who is this that even the rain and the clouds and the storms would obey his voice? Ah, absolutely. When fears are stilled, what are the fears that you bring into the sanctuary this morning? What are the anxieties? What are the stresses in your life? Wouldn't you just love all fears to be stilled? And when striving cease, how many of us are just overstressed? I'm just taking that little saying miles down the road. Sandy shared a devotional with us, and I mentioned it 2 weeks ago, and I mentioned it all over the place in Mexico. But are we overstressed, or are we overflowing? How would you describe your life? Are you overstressed? Or is your life overflowing, saturated with grace? when fears are stilled, when strivings cease, because I'm saturated with His grace. I'm overflowing. And the strivings cease. My comforter. Oh, that just comes right out of 2 Corinthians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comforts, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. He is the God of comfort. He is our comforter. My all in all, He is everything, in every situation, in every context. He is my everything. He is my all in all. This hymn, that's what it's about. He is my all in all. It's just all out Christ. Nothing outside of Him. No hope outside of Him. Here in the love of Christ, I stand. I love it. Then he goes on in verse 2. He goes in verse 2 from a Christmas theme to a Good Friday theme. In Christ alone who took on flesh, it's the doctrine of the incarnation, God took the form of man. In Christ alone who took on flesh, I love this phrase, fullness of God in helpless babe. Think of it. Ponder that. Fullness of God in helpless babe. Hey, I tell you, the early Christians, they didn't get it. Big debates over this. Was he God? Was he man? Was he part God, part man? Well, fully God, fully man. That doesn't make sense. It's a mystery. The fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness. That's the Christmas message. In all of its power, and it says it so succinctly, so beautifully in this hymn. And then it's John 1:11. Scorned by the ones who came to save. What a tragedy. John 1:11. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Ponder that. It just breaks your heart, doesn't it? Scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, now we get to Good Friday, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. God's wrath is the just punishment that we deserve. The due punishment for our sins. Jesus took upon Himself, and on that cross, the wrath of God was satisfied. Atonement is the theological word. So the penalty for our sins was paid for. We should have been the ones to die and to be thrown into hell. But Jesus took our sins on us. And it says, for every sin on Him was laid. And He made atonement. He paid the price for us. The Good Friday message. Here in the death of Christ, I live. And as you think of that, ponder it. Here in the death of Christ, I live. What does that mean? Well, first, by Christ's death, I live. Because He died, I live. But also, I have denied myself. I declare it. And this song declares, I have denied myself. I have taken up my cross. And I follow Him. Here in the death of Christ, I live. It's a bold statement of how we live our lives as Christians. Verse 3. you get into Easter. There in the ground his body lay. Listen to this line. Light of the world by darkness slain. Again, the beauty, the majesty, the poetry. But if you ponder it, light of the world, Christ was the light of the world by darkness slain. And just as you ponder that and you feel the weight of it, and all of a sudden the next line just bursts forth and bursting forth in glorious day. This is the hallelujah chorus. The power of the hallelujah chorus in this line, then bursting forth in glorious day. This is not just some fireworks display. This is an explosion at a nuclear level. Because as Jesus rose from the dead, this didn't just change history. This changed eternity. I mean, this is nuclear power bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave, he rose again. This is the foundation. This is the Christian message. The very essence of it. Jesus' resurrection. It's right here in this song. We sing about it. And it's just so powerful. And as he stands in victory, Christ is victorious. And because Christ is the victor, we are conquerors. Those who are in Christ, we are conquerors. Therefore, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. The slave has been freed. The addict has been delivered. Sin's curse has lost its grip on me. I will no longer be a slave to sin because Christ's power is now in me. And now I do not have to follow those desires. The power of Christ has freed me. It's right there. It's right there in this hymn. For I am his, and he is mine. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am a slave to righteousness, and I am a slave to Christ. And yet, a slave who lives like a king. That is my life. For I am his, and he is mine. I am all in. All of me. I am all his, and all of him is mine. All the resources of heaven I have access to because of Christ. Bought with the precious blood of Christ. For we have been bought at a price, Paul said. Verse 4. I love this. I could live off these next two lines. Think of what life would be like this way. No guilt in life. No fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. Can you imagine going through life with no guilt? Anybody ever struggle with guilt? Things you've done? You feel ashamed of? Just the tragedy of my life? You know, with things I've done. Anybody ever feel that kind of guilt? Can you imagine a life no guilt, where there's no guilt? Romans 8:1. For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No guilt in life. This isn't just a nice thought. This is biblical. Wouldn't you just love to live life that way? Well, you can. In the power of Christ. No guilt in life. No fear in death. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? No, my victory is in Christ Jesus. I can mock death. Oh, it's going to happen. Absolutely. Once. Not twice. And I tell you what, when it happens that time, when it's my time, could be tomorrow, who knows? No fear, because I'm with Jesus. To live as Christ, to die as gain. Hallelujah. Is this not an awesome way to live? No guilt, no no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is, and it's not my power. This is the power of Christ in me, his power in me. Oh, I love it. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Hey, from birth to the moment I breathe my last, Jesus commands my destiny. His will be done. You say it, Lord. I go. I mean, he commands my destiny. And no one else. And nothing else. No other influence. No. No. In fact, here we go. I love it. No power of hell. No scheme of man. Not even Satan with all, I mean, the prince of the earth and has all power, you know, kingdoms and all this. No. No power of hell. No scheme of man. No fear. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. And listen, this is exactly the essence of what Paul says in Romans 8, 37 to 39. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, no power of hell, no scheme of man, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the person who trusts in him. And you walk in that bubble, and no power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand. Jesus commands my destiny, nobody else, nothing else. I am his, and he is mine. Till he returns, or calls me home. An old seminary professor always used to say when making plans, okay, you know, Wednesday, if Jesus tarries, it's an old-fashioned way of saying if Jesus takes too long in coming back, you know, then I'll be there Wednesday if Jesus tarries, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I will stand. Nothing will knock me down or knock me off this path. I am committed, all out. He is my all in all. Can you hear the passion of a disciple who is just all in, sold out? It's all about Jesus, everything, and I stake my life on this. These words are just so powerful. I encourage you, memorize this. Take the bulletin home, cut it out, and work on that. Memorize it. I mean, if it hasn't spoken to you, if none of these words speak to you, I hate to say it, but something's wrong. If I'm alone here, but I mean, this is a credo. This word's to live, memorize it. And as you memorize it, and as you're driving down the road, as you break time and work, ponder this and let these words absolutely just start to work, do a work of transformation. As Paul says in Romans 12, I urge you therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice of the Lord, holy and pleasing to the Lord. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know, I want to encourage especially the young people. I mean, think of the music that you listen to. Hey, and this is for all of us. What radio station are you listening to? Honestly. I can remember when I was 19, I was just getting into my faith, you know, and had given my life over to Christ, you know, less than a year before. And a good friend of mine who had been discipling me gave me for the summer break at college a compilation tape of a bunch of Christian songs. Because, you know, I was still just listening to just regular rock and roll and, you know, and loving it. And that whole summer, as I just was listening to that tape, those words and the music just ministered so much to me. And all of a sudden, you know, I kind of pop it out. It was back when it was a cassette tape. All right, you know, way back then. Anyway, and I pop it out and all of a sudden start listening just to regular rock, you know, classic rock, whatever. And my spirit would just start to go down. And it was notable. And it was so notable that, and then I'm popping the tape and the Christian music all of a sudden would just buoy me back up. It was so notable. I made a decision. This, I was 19 years old. I'm like, from here on out, just Christian music. It makes that big of a difference. You know, what is it that's going to transform me? Am I just going to be conformed to the pattern of this world? Live by the world. Listen to the world's music. Go ahead. But if you want to make advances in your Christian world, if you really want this kind of sold out nature that this hymn speaks about, be very selective about the music you listen to. And I'm looking over at you guys, but I think there's a lot of us too that need to take that message to heart. So memorize these hymns, memorize songs, and watch the transformation take place, mind, body, and soul. So we'll have an opportunity to sing this, because the music too is just flat out gorgeous and brings even more power into it. But let's first take some time to pray.